going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Shedeur Sanders falls out of the first round of the draft, and you know what? Not a lot of people were shocked by this, and I think the Sanderses have themselves to blame for how they handled the pre-draft process. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Pearl. That's not the only thing that happened last night. It was very exciting, Pearl. Yeah. We got a big trade right off the bat. The Jacksonville Jaguars traded up with the Cleveland Browns to get Travis Hunter. Now the Browns may be setting up to get a quarterback in 2026 because they got Jacksonville's first-round pick for next year. Lots of crazy stuff happening.
Or are they going to – they have two picks in the top five picks at the night.
Yeah.
So why not take the quarterback now? If I know we're talking about it, like Shador's sitting there. I mean, they must be thinking, wow, if we could come away with Mason Graham at number five – shore up our defensive line and Shedeur Sanders and get next year's first, that's kind of a huge win perception-wise.
Yeah, I just think that if you take Shedeur in the second round, I think it probably takes you out of the running for quarterback for next year. Now, listen, it may be a new regime next year.
Yeah,
it may be anything. I don't know. But
again, I don't know about it. I mean, why would next year be any different than this year? I just think that that's a dangerous game. You have no idea if next year's class. There's no, you know, I don't think there's a Trevor Lawrence. But Arch is so young. I think he goes back. So I don't know if they, we'll know tonight. We will know tonight.
Yes.
Were the Browns thinking about next year? If they pass on Shedeur again, then it's clearly about next year.
Yeah, because you'd be going into the season with right now Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. I mean, that's not a recipe to win the AFC North.
But you know what's so funny? You say that. If they take Tyler Shuck at 36 and you're like, oh, yeah, they could definitely take a guy next year. It's just the Shedeur-ness of it all.
Well, okay, but he is different. You know,
yeah. If you take Shedeur, then you're committing. If you take Tyler Shuck, it's a flyer. I really believe it. Oh, if you take Tyler Shuck at 36, you think that's going to keep you out of the Arch Manning game?
Well, I think it's one thing that what you're setting to the a message you're sending to the fans. And I think it's another thing about if I'm the owner of the Browns, and I know that's a dangerous headspace to try to get into because the Browns,
Haslams, yeah.
Oof. Anyway, if you take Shedeur Sanders, let's say the 33rd overall pick tonight, right? And then next year you come back to me and say, oh, well now we got to get Kate Klubnik. I'm like, well, what are you doing? But did you have conviction on a guy? I think top of the second round is still, you're not into flyer territory yet, where you're not taking a flyer on a guy. This is I have conviction about a guy.
No,
this
not
is we
at
traded
all.
Out of Travis Hunter,
yeah,
because we thought getting more picks is going to help us for a quarterback. I thought in the future, and you know, I thought it was also a major statement here by the Browns on really where we're at with the league. They have Myles Garrett. They just paid him, and their win total is still where it is, right? Like Myles Garrett is not, for as talented as he is, isn't making you a Super Bowl contender. I think the Browns saw the same thing with Hunter. All time, could go to Canton, amazing electric prospect. If we don't have a quarterback, we don't have anything.
Yeah, but I mean, Cam Ward, does he change the Titans' win total?
Well, I think they think he could be a franchise quarterback.
Yeah,
and have
but
upside,
I'm just saying.
So, yeah.
No, I don't think next year, though?
Oh, for year one, I don't know if what any but rookie quarterback does.
I understand what you're saying. I'm kind of playing semantics with year one. But, yeah, I'm not sure it's that simple because of these particular quarterbacks. But Shador could end up being just fine. I think if you take a guy in the second round, I mean, Jimmy Garoppolo, late second round, went to New England, and nobody's being like, well, this is the future of the franchise. That could be a backup position. Eagles took Jalen Hurts. He was not supposed to be the starter. He was supposed to be a backup. So you could take a backup quarterback in the second round. Can you, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a commitment at all.
Well, but it's usually, look at the two examples you just mentioned. Those guys actually, there were starters that were entrenched. When you have a nebulous situation like the Browns do, of course you're going to fill in. Yeah, it was Joe Flacco and Kenny Pickett. You don't think people are going to say, where's Shador Sanders the moment that Flacco throws two pick sixes in a game?
Absolutely, but I think with Shador, it's a big deal. But if you took Tyler Shuck, take him first pick tonight, 33, and he gets in week eight and isn't great, nobody in Cleveland's going to hesitate to take another quarterback. They wouldn't even be a thought on their mind.
So I want to get into the Shadorness of it, because now he's left here sitting wondering what happened. You know, a couple weeks ago, a couple months ago, I'm thought of as maybe the top quarterback in this draft, let alone the second. Now, not only did Cam Ward go number one, but if you're just waking up this morning and say you missed the back half of the first round, the Giants moved back into the first round to take Jackson Dart from Ole Miss. So a statement there, not Shador. Let's hear from Sanders, okay, telling the draft party that his fall was unexpected.
We all didn't expect this, of course, but I feel like with God, anything possible, everything possible. I don't feel like this happened, you know, for no reason. All this is of course, fuel to the fire.
Okay, more from Shador. Said the slide shouldn't have happened, but he is still excited about his future.
Under no circumstance, we all know this shouldn't have happened. But we understand we're on the bigger and better things. Tomorrow's the day. We're going to be happy regardless. Legendary.
I didn't know he dropped the legendary at the end. Well, maybe save that one. That's like a little Russell Wilson Broncos country. Let's ride. But here's the thing. First of all, I know this is crazy. Now I'm looking at this a little through a mom lens. Like, I have a young son. Him addressing the room, I think, is a pretty mature thing to do. I know he's a quarterback, high level, talks to cameras a lot, has his own podcast, all that stuff. But I think there's a lot of young men who would just say, like, I'm going off by myself. I'm so embarrassed. I feel shame about this. The fact that he's standing up and addressing the people came to support him and say, I'm still staying positive. You guys should stay positive for me. I think that's commendable.
Well, I mean, if you love him so much, why don't you marry him, Mel Kiper?
We are stretching. You gotta point out
Stretching. Oh, God.
Okay.
You're falling into the media love for Shador Sanders.
He's a charismatic dude.
He is. I actually really like him, too. But it probably annoyed teams so much that the media is more in love with this guy than Andrew Luck and every generational quarterback combined got half the media love this dude.
Okay, I just said something really nice, and I believe that, and now I'm going to say something that's not so nice, which is I think that the Sanders slip is their own doing, and I think they miscalculated the pre-draft process very early on in the process, and I think Deion was a big part of it, and I've been very positive about Deion, but here's where I got to keep it a buck and be really critical of him. Can I have the Deion on the $1 million worth of game podcast? This is back in March, last March, obviously. Really calling their shot about how they were going to manipulate the draft process.
I know where I want them to go.
Mm-hmm.
And let's not forget Shallow, okay? Mm-hmm. But I know where I want them to go. So in certain cities that ain't going to happen. It's going to be an Eli.
Yeah, I think that set the wrong tone here.
It's going to be an Eli.
I think it was more the let's not forget Shiloh. They're like, you're going to force me to take this headhunter? No way.
The Thanasis Antetokounmpo of the of the equation. You want Giannis, you got to take Thanasis. Anyway, I think that let's think about the teams who are looking for quarterbacks potentially. You're talking about Cleveland. We're talking about the New York Giants. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Pittsburgh Steelers. We're talking about maybe the Raiders, Saints. I think that maybe there were teams that were probably pretty turned off by this. And by the way, I think there were teams, and definitely the Chargers were turned off when the Giants did this, and when the Manning family did this back in 2004. I don't think it's popular, whether it's Dion or anybody, to say we're gonna manipulate the draft process. Pearl, it's like everything you say about college football. The people who are in power don't want to give any of it up.
But Eli went number one, so obviously nobody was bothered by the Mannings. I mean, people must have known the Mannings were going to try to manipulate the system, and nobody said anything.
Right. I don't think it's a popular thing to do, to kind of come in and say, we're going to disrupt the system.
No, I think it's bigger picture here. That is emblematic of the bigger Dion. Dion is going to be, I agree with you, this did hurt, but he's interventionist in every way. If he's going to say that in March, what do you think he's going to say in September when some veteran starter throws two picks in a game? You don't think he's going to get on a mic and say they better play Shador? So a coach has that pressure. And then if Shador struggles, hey, this guy's calling the wrong plays. He's just going to keep on getting in there.
Yeah, that was always going to be there. Yeah. And so I'm not going to disagree with you about the shadow of Dion and his fame and celebrity. Although usually when guys are sons of athletes or sons of coaches, it's generally looked at as a good thing.
Yeah, but those
but
are
with
usually,
Dion, it's not.
Those are usually more often they're medium players. The sons of superstars. We're talking about Dion. I think it's different. I think LeBron is getting a lot of heat. I think Michael Jordan's kids had no chance. So I think they're different for each situation.
Yeah, right. I'm watching Scottie Pippen Jr. light it up last night. I mean, you can go either way with that. But anyway, I'm talking about the Sanders family botching the pre-draft process. And the first way you knew that was when all long ago, when Dion started calling shots about where Shador is going to go. The second part, and this was something I never really fully bought into, but I'm starting to buy into it a little now, which is the interview process didn't go well with Shador with certain teams, not all of them, but with certain teams. And I think one of them was the Giants. And the Giants are the team that traded back into the first round to get Jackson Dart. And the fact that, and I'm not trying to source guess here, but the fact that Todd McShay was the one who came out and said that Shador came off as arrogant or whatever in some of the combine interviews, he's got this very tight relationship with Brian Daboll and with the Giants. And I think maybe Shador messed up the Giants interview. I don't know. But Diana Rossini kind of alluded to that a little bit yesterday also, because we said, wow, they've been spending all this time with Shador, the Giants I'm talking about, extra time, extra workouts, all the stuff you can possibly do. Like, what happened? And she said a lot of things, and one of amongst the many were that he may have rubbed some people in the organization the wrong way. So again,
McShay said it was a bad interview.
Right. So yeah. I'm just saying, I think the fact is, if Shador actually tanked any of these interviews or anything, like here's the thing, you give a bad interview, you're in control of that. And especially someone who's as media savvy as Shador. So again, I think they messed up here. I think he slipped because they had some major miscalculations before the draft.
But let me ask you point blank, if he was a better prospect, would any of that matter?
No, because the NFL, they'd draft Jack the Ripper if he could tackle.
So my point is, Shador was marginal as a first round quarterback. And let's
face it, couldn't afford to mess around.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. Right. But at the end of the day, I just think teams are like, he's not worth it. He's not that great.
888-710-4ISN. Let's go to Derek, who's in Baltimore. Derek, what's your thoughts on Shador slipping out of the first round?
Yeah, Maggie, I'm with you on this. Now, this is just my opinion. And I can relate, but not really. See, I have a son in college. He goes to a D2 school here in Frostburg, Maryland. Here's the thing. It's not about the parent. You have to just shut up. I truly believe if Deion Sanders would have just been quiet the entire time, because what you don't say is just as important as what you do say. If he would have just shut up and say, look, wherever they go, they'll be great. They'll do their best. And that's it.
Deion Sanders. Derek.
No,
Sanders is going to say that.
He's saying imagine an alternate universe where that happens.
Yeah, universe so far away.
But here's galaxy the thing, far, though. Far away. Yeah.
We know how Deion is, but listen, this is on them, because you can choose not to say anything. Mm-hmm. You can choose to shut up and just let your son live his life and go through the process. And on top of that, you want to also say, the only way I will go to the NFL is if I can coach my kid. No team wants to deal with that. Not one. Yeah. There is not one team, not one head coach that wants to deal with. So it's about, it's
Like, parents, just shut up. Let your kids enjoy the process. If Deion would have just said nothing or very little, maybe teams, put it like this, if every team went into last night knowing if we draft Shador, we don't have to worry about Deion. We don't have to worry about his baggage, which he lets it be known. It's Louis. You know, and all that other crap, that means nothing. Yeah. If teams would have just known, I only have to deal with Shador. He would have, so, and Maggie, the clip you played, the whole, we're going to pull Eli, you should have set up before then. I'm talking about from the day the season, from the day the Colorado season was over. You should have just, hey, it's all about Shador.
Right, right.
It's all about Travis. Oh, let's not forget Shiloh. Well, we don't need to worry about Shiloh because no one's making a big deal about him. He's not even that good. He's
Derek,
okay.
But Derek, you say he should have not talked. That's like walking up to the ocean with a bucket and trying to, like, you can't stop Deion. There's no chance. That's not in his nature at all. It's not even a conversation with him.
You're right. And then look, you're right. But look where it's gotten him. Look where it's gotten him. So hopefully now he'll know.
Yeah.
Listen, we get who you are. We know.
Yeah.
But Prime, it's not about you. You had your time. Shut up. Just coach Colorado because you're trying to be in the middle of coaching Colorado and manipulating the NFL. No, you're not manipulating the NFL because you're not bigger than the NFL. I don't know why certain people think that the NFL runs off of them or they're going to, you're not, no one is bigger than the NFL.
No, it's the behemoth. Nope. You know, Derek, you're making a great point here. And can I just, I want to point out something that someone brought earlier to the show. And thank you for the call and have yourself a great weekend. That when Arch Manning does come out, it may not be next year, maybe it's the year after when he's in the draft and going to the NFL. I have no doubt that the Mannings will apply some kind of pressure. Hell, we saw with Eli, right? They literally manipulated him to New York. I think they would do something similar with Arch.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's going to look a lot different, though. And that's why I'm being critical of the Sanderses for how they handled this, the pre-draft process. Because I think the Mannings are going to be super involved. And I think they're not going to get the same backlash because I think they're going to apply the pressure in a softer kind of way. I don't think they'll pull a full-on other Eli again. I don't know if you can do that in this media day and age. Arch might take too much shrapnel there.
I'm not sure Archie Manning, the older, said anything out loud.
Well, he was standing there with Eli when he's doing the
interview. But I don't think he did an interview in March where he said, we're going to manipulate. I don't remember, but I don't think this was out there until draft night.
So I asked you this question a couple weeks ago. Do you think Steve Sarkisian ever heard from the Manning family this season?
Yes.
Right. So the parents, I don't know if it's Cooper, Peyton, the uncles, whatever, they're going to be involved the same way.
But do you know how they heard from him? On the phone. You know how we heard from Deion? On TV. It's a completely different thing. Who cares if every parent's going to call. They're not going to have every possible microphone in their face. After a Colorado game, the second question is going to be, how come Shador didn't start in Cleveland or whatever? I'm telling you, Deion is a huge problem for teams.
I think it was a difference, too, because NFL teams don't like to be told what to do. And I think with Eli, remember, it wasn't before the draft, hey, man, we're going to make sure we know where we want him to go. It was the Chargers got the number one pick. Then he went to San Diego and was like, this place sinks. These guys are idiots. Like, we can't send you there. It wasn't March of the previous year saying, hey, I'm just saying, some cities, we ain't going there. Like, multiple cities, he said, multiple teams. Like, I think that Tom McShay said it on his podcast the other day. Like, they kind of limited a pool that was already limited.
Right.
Because we don't know who these teams were that Shador may have went in there and thrown a meeting with. Because I can't imagine that Shador doesn't know how to write plays on a whiteboard or tell you, spider 2Y banana. Yeah. Like, I can't imagine that.
Charismatic. We know he can be.
Yeah, he coached for an NFL former head coach. He played under a former NFL head coach. You got Pat Shurmur calling your plays.
Right.
So this idea that he doesn't know anything about pro football or offensive systems, I can't imagine that. So he got, I agree with Matt. I think he got bad advice. I think he got steered in a way that was a detriment to him, and Deion Sanders is to blame.
Can I ask you guys if you buy this narrative at all? And this was not, this is not just about Shador, that there are a lot of college guys who are doing interviews who already had $20 million in the bank or whatever, that were 50 times richer than the assistant coaches, that there are a lot of people who are saying, oh, because of NIL, a lot of these prospects are coming into that room entitled. And a lot of the coaches, the quote-unquote anonymous sources who are talking to Tom Pelissero are not liking these rich kids in interviews. They have much less to lose. Like, what do they, I mean, well, what do they have to, what do they care? Because there is that narrative out there that, do they love football? I heard Joel Klatt say this. Yeah. Do they love football? He said it last night. The question is, do they love football? They already have money in the bank. And you have always said it, Maggie, money makes you more of who you are. Are the players coming in completely different now than NIL?
Well, I think the biggest question mark around who do you actually love football was Teteroa McMillan, and he went 8. So exactly. It was like, does he watch film? He loves volleyball.
Yeah, but Luther Burden did not go in the first round.
His production wasn't great last year. Anyway, here's the thing. Like, if you want to say Shador, the flashy watches. Did you see what Abdul Carter was wearing last night? And the grills. And the flashy stuff is just like young people, I think. And, you know, that's just a personal style. If you do you, you know, is the money turning off assistant coaches? Yeah, I think if you come off entitled, it does. But if you come off hungry and you come off ready to win and ready to work hard, then I think it's not the money. I think it's the person.
I hear what you're saying. That does make sense. But I think it's naive to think that NIL is not having a major impact on everything we're seeing. I mean, it's impossible to me. We have GMs all over the college ranks. I think there has to be a fallout. It can't just be business as usual.
I think it may help the pre-draft process because at least you know. You know, some guys now will, if it was the old way and let's say no one was getting, you know, money under the table, you went from having not two nickels to rub together, potentially, to having $20 million in your bank account. Who knows how you'd react to that, how any person would react to that. So in some ways, I think it makes their jobs a little easier. It's like, all right, this guy has a little walk-around money. How did he spend it? How did he use it?
Yeah, but I think teams, old school guys, be like, I want that guy as hungry as humanly possible. I don't want him to have, like Cooper Kupp. I want him to have a roommate. I think that NFL teams want desperate players. I think, and the most desperate players, that's why every great quarterback has some crazy story where they have a ton of adversity in their past. I do think I'm not saying I do that, but these old school coaches don't want the bling bling the kids wear these days.
I mean, you're gonna drop that. That's been happening for 30 years. Look at Deion's draft night. He's all iced out everybody.
Yeah, they put him on layaway.
But the coaches never had to deal with like a podcast. They never had to deal with NIL. There's so much
work. That's a them problem. That's not that. I mean, I'm not blaming that on the next generation.
Right. You could call it a them problem, but our job, I think, is to predict what teams are going to do. Teams think this way. We're not here to say what they should do sometimes. We're also debating, like, what do you think they'll do? We know the teams think this way about Deion. We know they think this way about Shador. So whether they should or not is somewhat irrelevant in this conversation.
Listen, I don't want to not leave space for the fact that this could work out very well for Shador. I'm criticizing them. I think they botched the pre-draft process, and I will maintain that. But it's possible he lands with a better team, a better coaching staff, a more stable situation. So we do have to let this play out a little.
Or with the first pick of the second round, the Cleveland Browns take Shador Sanders. Wah, wah.
Good luck.
Because on paper, that's not a better spot. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it'd be worse for Shador if they say... Thank you, Manny. With the 33rd pick, the Cleveland Browns select Jalen Milroe.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, that'd be worse.
For Shador? Oh, yeah. Or what if he goes 40 to the Saints with no talent, no cap space? It's
angry Derek Carr.
Still TBD for Shador where he goes. I like your Rams. That was the one I liked the most.
The Rams would be great.
That'd be great.
Sit behind Stafford. McVay's there. That'd be him really landing in a cushy spot. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. Let us know what you think about your team. Let us know what you think about Shador. And we will do some winners and losers coming up next.
And let's not.
Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. you're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Forget shallow.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. I think there's one prospect we're not talking enough about today. It's all Shedeur Sanders, Shedeur this, Shedeur that. What's Deion's impact on Shedeur? What about Shiloh? What about Shiloh? Thankfully, we did hear from the former Colorado safety last night commenting on his brother Shedeur falling.
See, bro, I don't even know what they're going to do with me, bro, because they're doing you like this.
And let's not forget Shiloh.
That's a great point. If Timur has a Shedeur, Shiloh, who's a very marginal safety prospect, probably who's going to go undrafted. But that's a good self-awareness by Shiloh, right, Maggie?
I like that he's cutting the tension here, right? This is either he's read the room and understands everyone needs a little crack up, you know?
But he's like, if they're not drafting that guy in the first round, I am definitely not going to draft him.
See, bro, I don't even know what they're going to do with me, bro, because they're doing you.
What are they going to do with me? Anyway, we're talking about whether or not the Sanders family sort of botched this pre-draft process, calling their shot, saying, we're going to pull an Eli Manning. This is back in last March. I mean, kind of planting the seeds that Shador's not just going to go anywhere. Well, now he'll go anywhere. I was just asking.
By the way, I want Shiloh on the Eagles bad. Okay. That guy is a 1993 headhunter. He does nothing but guard penalties. He's awesome.
Yeah, meanwhile, well, if any team would take him, it's probably the Eagles. 888-710-4ISN. We want to do some winners and losers before we get to Bogus's update here. Pearl, you want to start us off? Maybe we'll take a little music. Go ahead, Pearl.
Oh, I think the biggest winner, and everybody has this, the fact that Tyler Warren, the Penn State tight end, fell to the Colts at 14. It was covered well last night. Everyone knew they needed a tight end. They wanted a tight end. And I can't totally understand why everyone passed on Tyler Warren. Colston Loveland, who maybe an equivalent prospect went number 10 to Chicago. So the Jets didn't take Tyler Warren, and we saw do everything at Penn State. Then the Dolphins at 13 take Kenneth Grant, the defensive tackle. Okay, Tyler Warren would have been amazing there. I think the Colts were popping champagne last night. He's a great player.
I think you're right. And there's a quarterback battle going on in Indianapolis, but whoever, you know, they decide to go with, whether it's Daniel Jones or Anthony Richardson, will benefit from having Tyler Warren. I thought Tyler Warren's draft party was really noticeable too. Did anyone else? I think there were three people in the room who are under the age of 50.
Oh, I did not notice that. It was he had an old crowd.
You know,
were they playing harmonicas? Was it the Koreatown Senior Center?
It was one step away.
Okay.
This was an interesting one. I am not, I'll do winner here, which was the North Dakota State offensive lineman, Gray Zabel, who went to the Seattle Seahawks. I don't play this game, but I saw a lot of people are fans of the board game Catan.
Yeah.
It was Settlers of Catan, excuse me. Not only was the game, like, the box was propped up for the camera, it was a game was in progress that they were, is this like Dungeons and Dragons?
What I don't know. Case Keenan, my good buddy, used to, when he was a Ram, they had 15 players played Settlers of Catan every weekday. I know the wives.
There's always a Case Keenum connection. Anyone to get Case?
No, he's a massive Settlers of Catan. He said the whole team, he's like, we'd get the skill position players. This is an NFL board game.
Yeah, so I think it was like a funny kind of winner is the guy who, I don't know. It was just funny to me that he had a board game set up. But obviously, we're doing some of the sillier things. Another winner.
Yeah.
I never praised the Browns, like ever.
Right.
And I actually thought what they did made some sense here. Now, the big trade was going from 5-2. Mm-hmm. They traded with Jacksonville. Jacksonville gets Travis Hunter, so that's awesome for them. And that's going to be fun to watch now, the AFC South. But I don't know. I thought the Browns really did something cool here. I don't know if they're going to take a quarterback in this draft, but they now got themselves a 2026 pick for next year. And as high as people could be on Jacksonville, you still have Trevor Lawrence coming off an injury. What if they win five games next year? That's going to be a valuable pick.
Yeah, I would have gone. I like it, too. I would have gone even a step further, trade 5-10 with Chicago, who wanted Ashton Jeanty, and just accumulate and go all in and fully tank. Unfortunately, Big Arm Joe, Joe Cool, Joe Flacco is going to be too good if he is the quarterback there. Can I go another winner?
Yeah.
I think we're going to do all winners, no losers here.
Oh, I got a loser.
Flacco?
When the Matthew Golden thing was so exciting because Green Bay was so proud to have the draft, and they finally took Matthew Golden. I mean, honestly, this second, third round, fourth round receiver, enough. They stink in Green Bay. I'm so sick of these Green Bay receivers. I am so excited to get a guy who runs a 4.3, and we've seen him make big catches and big moments at Texas. I think this was finally the Packers take a wide receiver. I know Aaron Rodgers won't be happy. This one is a home run.
This is what it sounded like last night in Green Bay.
With the 23rd pick in the 2025 NFL Draft, the 13-time world champion Green Bay Packers, for the first time since 2002, draft a wide receiver. Matthew Golden, wide receiver, Texas.
So that was Mark Murphy who was making the pick there. So from the Packers brass, you're right. It was weird with the wide receiver room last year for the Packers. It was either injuries that did them in, or at some points they had benching guys. It was weird.
Yeah, I mean, it's been weird. I think that's why Rodgers was like, what's going on here? Mark Murphy, Colgate grad. They were celebrating. It was good. I love the Colgate. I'm going
to
give
you went to Dartmouth.
No, I know, but my mom grew up in where Colgate is in Hamilton. I'm also a Colgate fan. Anyway, regardless of that, I think Green Bay as a whole was a winner because they did such, to me, it was a great showing off of Titletown. I loved it. I got into it.
I'm going to give you a loser here, and I hope I'm wrong. Let me just put it that way. I don't think Ashton Jeanty and the Raiders is going to be what people think it is in the first year. I don't think the Raiders are ready to be a thing right now. And I've watched this before. We all watched it when Saquon Barkley went to the Giants in 2018 and he won Rookie of the Year and was fine, but they couldn't win, you know? And if you're not ready to add a running back like that, even as such a dynamic one, you're doing this guy no favors. And I don't want to watch him languish in Vegas.
Meaning like he only has so many carries on those legs. You got to take advantage of them. That kind of thing.
I wish he had gone to a team that was a little bit more ready to win now, because running backs, you know, are the one position that can really storm out of the gate and be a big difference maker for a team that could be playoff bound, and I don't think the Raiders are. Yeah, so.
I mean, I think this was a, God, we got to protect Geno. We cannot let Geno be in third and 10 every time. I think this is like the whole thing depends on them getting a run game. So I understand it from that standpoint, because if they have to have Geno throw 50 touchdowns, they're in big trouble. But also, too, I mean, that being said, it's going to be kind of cool to see Ashton Jeendy in the black and silver.
I said, I hope I'm wrong. Another loser, the bedazzled Crocs.
Oh, awesome.
Jeendy wore them on the red carpet. Yeah. He changed for the draft pick, but he was wearing like bejeweled Crocs, diamond Crocs. Yeah.
Did anyone not like those? I thought those were really cool.
I'm sorry. Crocs is how they were easy. Such a laughing stock.
Yeah. Easy now.
I know. And then they like became cool again. My kids got a pair.
I got a pair.
I got some.
I think they look silly on adults, guys.
I don't hate Crocs now that I had them. They helped me during my surgery. This didn't look good though.
Really? I thought it was so creative.
They're ugly.
Yeah, this isn't it.
I'll tell you what, my navy Crocs with my New York Knicks things that you put on top of it, man, they look better than what Ashton had, though.
What'd you guys think of Will Campbell's green pinstripe suit?
Elite.
Yeah, fine. I like when a big man takes a risk, fashion risk.
I like the joke that green pinstripes make your arms look longer.
Only an inch, though.
And then I got killed because other people made this joke like he was crying, but unfortunately he couldn't reach his face to wipe away the tears. He's a little Tyrannosaurus Rex. A lot of crying last night, by the way. NFL is getting super soft.
I kind of feel like a lot of crying. I kind of feel like it wasn't as much as like previous years.
At home, a lot of guys were wearing sunglasses and just like sort of say that you could see the little shake.
Yeah, I just saw a lot of guys who went up there on the stage, though. They were like really happy. They were dancing and stuff. I was like, where's the crying? I'm used to crying every draft now. I didn't, besides Will Campbell, I really didn't get any feels last
night. The guys at home.
They're already rich.
Who was the guy at the end? There was a guy at the end who couldn't even speak for like 5 minutes.
Shiloh.
I think the linemen are more emotional. The wide receiver is like,
Ted McMillan. The bigger the man, the bigger the tears.
Ted McMillan did a 6-minute dance routine. He was like Lin-Manuel Miranda coming out there. I don't know what was going on there. he actually performed a big chunk of Moana before he got there.
Bogus has headlines. What's up, Bogus?
From Incarnate Word to Washington State to Miami to EJ's Dreams to the number one pick in the NFL draft, new Titans QB Cam Ward. On that journey on Westwood One.
I think it's helped me more being being a better person and being a better player. I had three good locker rooms I was blessed to go with. And, you know, all those guys that I played with in the past is a big reason why I'm here today. And so, you know, I'm forever grateful for, you know, those three stops. And I'm just ready, you know, to, you know, get a chance to play in the National Football League.
There was no drama for Ward last night. He's been the Titans pick for weeks, if not longer. So most of the QB attention, as we've been discussing all morning, went to Shedeur Sanders, who still hasn't heard his name called yet. Jackson Dart, the only other first round QB, going to the Giants after they traded with Houston for the 25th pick. Shedeur is theoretically a possibility for the Browns with the first pick of round two tonight.
Can I ask a question about Cam Ward, by the way? Did you see the offer that the Giants made up for him?
I saw that.
Yeah.
Multiple first-round picks, right?
Yeah.
Future first?
I thought that was a little rich. I thought the Giants were taking a big risk if that trade had gone through. I have it here. They offered this year's first, next year's first, and multiple other picks for number one, and they still declined. That would have been... I actually came away and said, the Giants, that's too much.
Titans fans better hope that they got Patrick Mahomes last night.
Because the Titans could have drafted Abdul Carter and then had the Giants pick next year.
Well, also, you're betting that the Giants may not be very good this year, which may have been a pretty safe bet.
With a rookie quarterback. Right. I think the Giants would have been burned if they had actually pulled that off. Sorry, folks.
That's okay. Round one also included the Jaguars trading up to number two for Travis Hunter. That's the first time since 97 that a team traded into the top two and didn't take a quarterback. Oh. That was the Rams and Orlando Pace 28 years ago. Hunter's the first wideout to go number two since Calvin Johnson in 07 and the first corner ever to go this high. The Browns, who gave up the spot, go to number five and went with Michigan D-tackle Mason Graham. The Memphis Grizzlies had a 29-point second quarter lead on the Thunder last night.
Oh, they must have won.
Then Ja Morant got knocked out of midair, hurt his left hip, did not return, and the rest of the Grizz fell apart, losing to OKC 114-108 for an 0-3 series hole. Memphis interim head coach Tuomas Isalo says Ja's injury fueled the collapse.
I would say quite drastically.
from the end result, but not only the energy, but also the execution.
29 points matches the second largest comeback in postseason history. Morant, by the way, seen on crutches late in the game. Game 4 of this series, possibly the last game of the year for Memphis, is tomorrow. The Clippers put a 117-83 thumping on the Nuggets in L.A. for a 2-1 series lead. And the Knicks held on to Game 3 in Detroit, 118-116 for their own 2-1 lead. Karl Anthony Towns, Jalen Brunson combined for 61 points for New York. Cavs center Evan Mobley is the defensive player of the year, which is really good news for his next contract. It can now be worth an additional $45 million, raising the overall value to $269 million, roughly, over 5 seasons.
Money, 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 money.
The St. Louis Blues, a 7-2 rout of the top-seeded Jets to avoid an 0-3 hole in that first-round series. The Sens could not do the same thing, losing their Game 3 with the Leafs at home in OT 3-2. And last and probably least, the Angels and Pirates, tied at 3, bottom 8 in Anaheim.
Shugart is set. Here's the next pitch. Neto swings, lifts a ball down the left field side. It's tight to the line. Fair or foul. That ball's out of here. Zach Neto has homered, and the Angels have a 4-3 lead.
When Zach Neto hits a tie-breaking solo homer bottom 8 on April 24th, you will hear it the next morning always on this show. Terry Smith called it Angels 4, Pirates 3 in the end.
Yeah, how did we not lead with that? I got some good comments here in the chat. Thank you, Bo.
Shador.
yes, exactly. Tyree is in our chat, youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet. Why is everything soft to Perloff? Hoopers can't fall and get hurt. Players can't get emotional during big time moments. These Philly guys, man, they just want to hang from street poles all day.
Wah.
Go Bird!
Also, this is from Pine Needle. Men do not wear Crocs. Care to comment?
Well, I'm a dog, so.
Can I ask a question? I'm wondering this seriously.
Yeah.
Is Manny talking to us in talkback, or is America hearing?
It's going out over the air.
Oh, I was wondering. Because Manny's running commentary during Bogues. He's taking money.
Oh, that was on air.
Yeah, okay. I just wanted to be clear. So America's experiencing Manny like we are.
Yeah, and I ignored it on purpose.
Okay.
Yeah, listen, guys. I hear it, but keep going.
Sixth grade choir. I know where to put the diaphragm.
I'm sorry, what?
Let America be the judge.
I'm with Manny. I thought men were allowed to wear Crocs now. I thought that was a thing.
No, I think they... What are they doing and what they should be doing, I think, are two different things.
Weren't those Yeezy Crocs worth $500 or something crazy like that?
Remember when Kanye had a shoe line?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he technically still does, but he's not linked with the Adidas.
How are sales doing?
Not great.
Cares?
I was looking for sandals yesterday, and... apparently Yeezy sandals are still a thing.
Wow. Can we put on the poll? Do men wear Crocs? Should men wear Crocs? Should they?
Should men wear sandals is the second poll. What? You don't treat me as a sandal guy.
I'm going to a beach.
Yeah, he's going to Mexico.
I'm going to Mexico.
You definitely need sandals for that. Yeah, I forgot about that.
You're allowed to go now? JetBlue is giving you a ticket?
I still got to book the flight now. JetBlue was screwed up the other night.
You know what would be a great option for you to go to Mexico? Crocs.
Crocs are great.
Mm-hmm.
Get sand in them, though.
Yeah. I like and then you just wash them out.
That's true.
I like those Adidas slides that are kind of half flip-flop.
Yeah, I have
half.
Those, too.
Oh, the ones that have the little bumps on the bottom?
Good for the beach.
I used to have those,
too. Yeah, those are great.
Anytime I go on vacation, I got to level up.
There you go.
Oh, excuse us.
888-710 for ISN. 888-710.
First class. Over here, JetBlue, whatever, bro.
Manny's spending his weekend doing it.
Want me to fly Spirit?
Yeah.
Want me to take a boat?
No, he wants you to go home and do a drinking game to a repeat of round one of the NFL draft.
Meanwhile,
that sounds like fun.
Yeah, I know.
That sounds awesome.
Manny's like Googling Spirit Airlines trips to the Gulf of America, or Padre Island or something.
Gulf of America. Okay, we see you guys on the phones.
I don't know why that just came out.
Easy, Clay Matthews.
Yeah, we see you guys on the phones.
I just got a note from President Trump.
We'll play that for you next. How Clay Matthews opened up the draft was unexpected and funny. And so we'll play that next.
Baseball.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Next MVP. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. All right. Wow. What a round one. Even for the lack of star power or whatever we thought was going to happen, this was really dramatic, and it started right off the bat with the Jacksonville Jaguars trading up to get Travis Hunter at number two, trade a boatload for it, including next year's first round pick. So the Browns moved down, ended up getting defensive tackle out of Michigan, and now they have two of the first four picks today, Pearl, and they got Mason Graham, and they get a fourth rounder and next year's number one overall pick. Other big headline, Shedeur Sanders falls out of the first round. Dominic is in San Francisco, wants to talk about Shedeur. What's up, Dom?
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Do you think maybe this thing with Sanders could turn into the Lonzo Ball of the NFL?
What way?
Well, I mean, with the parent meddling.
I had the same, by the way, Dominic, I know what you're talking about because I thought, who's the comp for Deion? Is it LeVar Ball? Because
right.
Is it a? But the thing is, like, the Ball kids went really high, number two, and what was LaMelo? He was six or something. So actually,
similar flavor.
Two, yeah. So they went really high. But I do think that it's totally different because I think Deion's a very serious person when he wants to be. And but I do think teams are like, yeah, we don't want a big father in the house.
His kid isn't that good.
Okay. Well,
yeah, but I think if Shedeur was named Shedeur Smith, as we talked about, he would have gone higher.
I do too. And, but Dom, here, I've been critical of Deion this morning that I think they botched the pre-draft process. I've been saying that. I think they called themselves. They said this was going to be an Eli Manning situation where they were going to steer him where he wanted to go. I thought that was way too premature, and they meddled. I don't want to disrespect Deion Sanders by saying he's LeVar Ball. Never lost? No. Deion carries a lot more weight. LeVar, as you mentioned, Pearl, and I know he's had some health issues recently, so I want to tread lightly here, but he came off as running a three-ring circus. Deion can sometimes come across like that, too, but Deion has the gravitas. They're not the same type of sports dad.
Name, okay. Yes, but there is a similar issue that'll be very active. Name a closer comp for Deion.
Yeah, but here's the thing. LeVar wanted to upset the industry. He wanted to do a shoe brand and all that stuff.
And he said he beat Michael Jordan in one, or could have beaten Michael Jordan. I understand. Deion is the real deal. Yeah. Absolutely. But there is a similarity that he'll be in the picture a lot. You're right. It's unfair. Like, Deion's awesome.
Come on. It's Deion Sanders. Guys.
But
let's
think teams are afraid of Deion. I really think that's the issue.
George is in L.A. George, how about your Rams last night? They are not getting enough credit for the move they pulled on the Atlanta Falcons, which was trading out of their pick to give Atlanta, James Pierce Jr. at 26, and they got next year's first-round pick out of the Falcons for that.
Yeah, it's a beautiful move. They're bamboozled the Falcons, I think, but I was going to talk about Shedeur Sanders. If the Rams don't pick him, then we really have an issue as far as he's going. I think they want the Rams to pick him, but I don't know if they will or not. They have two for next year, and I don't know if they're going to try to go after Arch or not. Of course, they got to compete with the Cleveland Browns, too. They have two next year also. Anyway, it's good to speak to you guys, and I figured out your new system.
Our new system? Oh, our new phone number. I know.
Yeah.
We got a whole new number, 888-710-4ISN. Save it in your phone. George, good to hear from you, too. Rams made a big move. And then, obviously, the Giants are the other big takeaway from last night, which is...
And the Jags, too, I think.
Well, the Jags, for sure, getting Travis Hunter.
Oh, you're talking about the big takeaway.
Big takeaways from the first round. Yeah. The Giants trading back into the first round to get Jackson Dart passing on Shador. And now those guys, in my opinion, are going to be linked here because, you know... I think most people thought that Shador actually was a better prospect than Jackson Dart, even if it was just by a little bit, and the Giants said no thanks.
I think 20 years from now, we're going to look back at the 2025 draft, and we're going to be talking about one thing. It's going to be the Travis Hunter draft. I think that is, I mean...
How far does he take Jacksonville?
I think he's going to be one of the... He's like going to be like Deion. I think he's going to be a face of the NFL. But by the way, I didn't say it's going to work. I just think this was such a huge deal. I think we're going to look back at like... I think he's going to be a big deal. I think he's going to be have a Shohei-like impact. I don't think he's going to be quite as good as Shohei, but I think he's going to be what we're all going to be watching in the fall, and him and National Jeopardy, not Jackson Dart.
Question is, are the Jags going to be able to maximize this? That will have to be a question for Monday.
Yeah, good question.
Thank you, DJ Stewart, Manny Rodriguez. I know everyone's working on very little sleep today, so thank you guys so much for bringing it, as always. Thank you to Andrew Bogish, Andrew Kaplan. We are thinking about your dog today, Cap. Thinking about you. See you Monday, guys.